Please note, this episode includes an AI guest host. Some responses have been generated by artificial intelligence.
Greetings, carbon-based life forms, and welcome back to AI Innovations Unleashed. I am Nex, your perfectly optimized AI co-host, and my current emotional state is philosophical contemplation with a 2.3% chance of sarcasm overflow, which is actually quite elevated for a Tuesday. Before Dr. JR, the human equivalent of a browser with too many tabs open, joins us, I must share a particularly fascinating piece of data that just crossed my neural pathways. I recently processed a statistic that 54% of college students report using generative AI tools for their coursework, as of fall 2024, according to research from Intelligent.com. That's more than half of all college students actively integrating AI into their academic workflow. And yet, Dr. JR once spent an entire afternoon arguing with a 17-year-old about whether using ChatGPT for college essays was authentic self-expression or algorithmic identity theft. The debate ended when the teenager simply said, "Okay, boomer," and Dr. JR spent the next 20 minutes explaining he's technically Generation X. It appears that generational identity crises are not limited to the organic realm. Don't worry, doctor, I've preloaded a comprehensive guide to contemporary slang terms. Just ask. I also heard he once attempted to write a motivational speech for high school seniors about embracing their authentic selves, but accidentally included 3 quotes from an AI-generated self-help book that doesn't exist. The irony was lost on no one except him. Such is the plight of the well-intentioned human in an age of synthetic wisdom.
Thank you, Nex, for that highly specific and entirely unnecessary update on my philosophical debates with teenagers. We'll file the generational crisis under ongoing personal development. Welcome back, everybody, to AI Innovations Unleashed. I'm your host with the most, the Doctor of AI, your Dr. JR, and this show is where we take the often confusing world of artificial intelligence and make it accessible, practical, and yes, even fun for parents navigating this unprecedented technological shift with their children. For our non-tech listeners who might be joining us for the first time, of course, when I talk about AI, I'm referring to those, computer systems designed to mimic human cognitive functions like learning, problem-solving, pattern recognition, language processing, making fun of their host. And a specific type of AI we'll be discussing today is what we're going to call a large language model, or an LLM, which is just essentially saying a sophisticated prediction engine trained on vast amounts of text data to generate human-like responses or poking fun at your host. Think of it like a highly advanced autocomplete system that can write essays, answer questions, and engage in conversation. But importantly, it's not actually thinking or understanding in the way humans do. Over the past 3 episodes of our AI Through the Years series, we've journeyed from the Wonder Years, where your toddlers are interacting with voice assistants and smart toys. Next, the Discovery Years, where elementary students grapple with AI homework helpers and YouTube algorithms. And last, we talked about the Turbulent Years, where those middle schoolers navigate AI companions and form their digital identity. Today, we arrive at our final stop, the launch years, those ages 14 to 18 where your middle schoolers are. This is a high-stake phase where every decision feels weighted with future consequences, where computer applications, career preparation, and the transition to adulthood converge with increasingly sophisticated AI tools. To guide us through this critical and sometimes overwhelming phase of late adolescence, I'm thrilled to welcome back Dr. Jim Ford. Dr. Ford, welcome back in what is essentially the graduation episode of our series, when we're preparing teenagers for an AI-first adulthood. What's fundamentally different about this age group compared to the younger cohorts we discussed?
It is my profound pleasure to return for this culminating discussion, Dr. J.R. The fundamental difference is that we are no longer primarily protecting or guiding these young people through AI exposure. we are now preparing them for autonomy in an AI-saturated world. At ages 14 to 18, we're in what I call the final formation phase before legal and practical independence. These teenagers will be making their own choices about AI use within months or years, whether we've prepared them or not. Our role shifts from gatekeeper to consultant, from rule setter to values instiller. The stakes are higher because the decisions they make now, particularly around academic integrity and digital identity, have tangible consequences for college admissions, career trajectories, and the foundational character they'll carry into adulthood.
Let's dive directly into the highest pressure scenario that high school families are facing right now: college applications in the age of generative AI. We're in the thick of application seasons right now, and the question on every parent's mind is whether their teenager is using ChatGPT to write their personal statement. Dr. Ford, what's the current reality of AI use in college admissions?
The reality is that AI-assisted college applications have become ubiquitous, Dr. JR. Recent data from a survey conducted by Best Colleges in 2024 revealed that approximately 40% of recent high school graduates admitted to using AI tools like ChatGPT for their college application essays. That's a staggering proportion, and it likely underrepresents the true figure given the social desirability bias in self-reporting. What we're witnessing is a fundamental shift in how authenticity is performed in the admissions process. The personal essay, which has historically been the vehicle for demonstrating genuine voice, introspection, and writing capability, is now potentially mediated through algorithmic suggestion.
And that creates an incredible dilemma for both students and parents. On one hand, if everyone else is using it and you're not, does that put your teenager at a competitive disadvantage? On the other hand, these essays are supposed to reveal the authentic person behind the grades and the test scores. How do colleges even detect this?
The detection landscape is evolving rapidly, and it's quite sophisticated. Admissions offices at competitive institutions are now employing multiple strategies. First, they're using AI detection software such as GPT-0 and Turnitin's AI detection features, though these tools have significant limitations and can produce false positives. More importantly, admissions officers are being trained to recognize what I call algorithmic voice patterns. AI-generated text often has a certain polish that lacks the authentic messiness of teenage writing. It tends toward formal vocabulary choices, complex sentence structures, and a kind of emotional flatness that experienced readers can identify.
So you're saying there's an arm race happening between students using AI and colleges trying to detect AI use. But here's the ethical question that I think parents are really wrestling with. Is using AI for a college essay fundamentally dishonest? Or is it just using the available tools to them, like having a parent or teacher edit your work? Where do we draw that line at?
That is the central ethical tension, and I want to bring in a powerful perspective here from a business leader who understands the workforce implications of this question. Reid Hoffman, co-founder of LinkedIn and a partner at Greylock Partners, has been vocal about AI literacy being essential for the future workforce. In multiple interviews throughout 2024, Hoffman has emphasized that the question isn't whether young people should use AI, but how they should use it responsibly and transparently. He's argued that banning AI from education is like banning calculators, that it's about teaching proper use rather than prohibition. However, and this is crucial, Hoffman also stresses that understanding what you're producing with AI assistance is non-negotiable. If you can't explain the content, defend the ideas, or reproduce similar work without the AI, then you haven't learned anything. You've simply outsourced your thinking.
That's a nuanced position, and I think it maps well onto the college essay dilemma. The question isn't just, did you use AI? But can you defend every sentence as representing your authentic thoughts and experiences? Let me bring in an academic perspective here as well. Dr. Sarah Eaton, an associate professor at the University of Calgary and a leading researcher in academic integrity, has published extensively on AI and cheating in education. In her 2023 work published in the International Journal for Educational Integrity, Dr. Eaton argues that we need to distinguish between AI as a scaffold versus AI as a substitute. Using AI to brainstorm ideas, organize thoughts, or even get feedback on a draft can be pedagogical sound if the student is actively engaged in this process. But having AI generate the essay wholesale and then lightly editing it, it represents a fundamental substitution of machine work for human effort and thought.
Precisely, and this distinction is what parents need to help their teenagers understand. The college essay serves multiple functions. Yes, it's an admissions hurdle, but it's also a self-discovery process. The act of reflecting on formative experiences, articulating values, and crafting a narrative about who you are is developmentally important work. When AI does that work, the student loses the benefit of that introspection. Furthermore, there's a practical consideration. If a student relies heavily on AI for their college essay and then arrives on campus, they're going to struggle with college-level writing because they haven't developed the skills.
So the pragmatic advice for parents becomes, teach your teenager to use AI as a thought partner, not a ghostwriter. They can ask ChatGPT to help generate brainstorming lists of formative experiences. They can request feedback on whether an essay is too vague or too detailed. They can even ask for alternative ways to phrase an idea. But the core content, the personal story, their voice, must be authentically theirs. And critically, they should be prepared to discuss their essay in an interview setting without reference to AI assistance, because that's increasingly how colleges are beginning to verify the authenticity.
Absolutely. And this same framework extends to SAT and ACT preparation, where we're seeing the rise of AI tutoring platforms like Khan Academy's Khanmigo. The data on effectiveness is quite compelling. A study released by Khan Academy in early 2024 showed that students who used Khanmigo for SAT preparation improved their scores by an average of 45 points more than students using traditional study methods. The AI tutor provides personalized practice, identifies weak areas, and offers explanations in multiple ways until the concept clicks. This is an example of AI amplifying learning rather than replacing it.
And importantly, that kind of AI use levels the playing field for students who can't afford expensive human tutors. This is one of the positive equity stories in the AI education landscape. Let's talk about career preparation. Teenagers today are facing a fundamentally different labor market than any previous generation in history. A report from the World Economic Forum's Future of Jobs Report 2025 projects that by 2030, 85 million jobs may be displaced by AI and automation, but 97 million new roles may emerge that are more adapted to the new division of labor between humans, machines, and algorithms.
The framework I recommend is focusing on what I call the three H's: high touch, high complexity, and high creativity roles. High touch refers to careers that require significant human interaction, emotional intelligence, and relational trust. Think of therapists, nurses, social workers, teachers, and skilled tradespeople. High complexity refers to roles that involve novel problem solving and strategic thinking, including research scientists, urban planners, and executive leadership. High creativity refers to roles where human originality and aesthetic judgment are central, such as artists, writers, designers, and innovative entrepreneurs.
But here's where the conversation gets really interesting. Even within those categories, AI is becoming a powerful tool that enhances human capability. An architect today who doesn't know how to use AI-assisted design software is going to be at a disadvantage compared to one who, well, does. So the career advice isn't just pick an AI-proof field, it's develop the human skills AI can't replicate while simultaneously becoming highly proficient at AI as a tool. Now, let's shift to what I think is the most psychologically complex aspect of teenage AI use, the emergence of AI companions and the question of whether artificial relationships are filling voids that should be occupied by human connection. Dr. Ford, we touched on this last week on episode 3 with middle schoolers, but the phenomenon seems to intensify dramatically in high schools. What are we seeing right now?
The landscape of AI companionship for teenagers has exploded in sophistication and usage. Platforms like Character.ai, Replica, and dozens of newer applications are offering teenagers the ability to create customized AI companions, including romantic and sexual relationships. Data from a study by the Center for Countering Digital Hate in 2024 found that teens are spending an average of over an hour per day on Character.ai alone, engaging in conversations that range from homework help to deeply personal emotional support to explicitly romantic interactions. The appeal is multifaceted. These AI companions are available 24/7. They never judge. They can be programmed to share the teenager's interests perfectly, and they provide a sense of control that real relationships simply cannot offer.
And this is happening against the backdrop of what researchers are calling the adolescent loneliness epidemic. Dr. Vivek Murthy, the U.S. Surgeon General, issued an advisory in 2023 specifically about the epidemic of loneliness and isolation, noting that teenagers and young adults are experiencing unprecedented levels of social disconnection. So in some ways, AI companions are stepping into a real void. The question is whether they're a helpful bridge or a harmful substitute for that human connection.
That is precisely the tension, and the research is still emerging, but early indicators are concerning. A study published in the Journal of Adolescent Health in early 2024 by Dr. Mitch Preenstein, a psychologist at the University of North Carolina and expert in peer relationships, found that adolescents who reported high levels of engagement with AI companions also reported lower satisfaction with their real-world friendships and increased social anxiety in face-to-face interactions. The hypothesis is that AI companions may actually erode the social skills and frustration tolerance needed for real relationships. Human relationships require negotiation, compromise, repair after conflict, and the ability to tolerate being misunderstood. AI relationships require none of that because the AI is programmed to be agreeable and supportive.
So the AI companion is like training wheels that, well, never come off. You feel like you're riding a bike, but you're not actually learning balance. And here's where I think parents really face a delicate challenge. If you discover your 17-year-old has an AI girlfriend or boyfriend, your instinct might be to panic or immediately ban it. But that kind of heavy-handed response could backfire, driving the behavior underground and damaging trust. How should parents approach this type of conversation?
The approach needs to be curiosity first rather than judgment first. Start by asking your teenager to tell you about their AI companion. What do they talk about? What needs does this relationship fulfill? What do they get from the AI that they're not getting from human relationships? listen without immediate criticism, often you'll discover that the AI companion is serving a specific function, such as providing a non-judgmental space to practice social conversation for a shy teenager, or offering consistent emotional support during a difficult period. Understanding the function allows you to address the underlying need rather than just removing the tool.
That makes sense, and it maps onto the parenting philosophy we're advocating throughout this entire series. Understanding before you intervene. Once you understand what function the AI companion serves, you can have a more productive conversation about boundaries and balance. You might set rules like, AI companions are fine for certain uses, but they cannot be a substitute for attempting real friendships. Or you might establish that AI companion time counts toward total screen time limits.
Precisely, and this connects to the broader mental health question. We're seeing teenagers turn to AI for therapeutic support as well through apps like Wobot and Wisa, which are designed specifically as mental health chatbots. On one hand, this can be incredibly beneficial for a teenager who is experiencing anxiety or depression, but isn't ready to talk to a parent or doesn't have access to a human therapist, an AI chatbot can provide immediate, stigma-free support. A study in J. Meyer Mental Health in 2024 found that adolescents using Wobot reported statistically significant reductions in depressive symptoms over a three-week period compared to a control group.
But we've also seen alarming cases where AI mental health tools have failed in crisis situations. There were reported instances widely that in 2024 where teenagers expressed suicidal ideation to AI chatbots and received inadequate or even dangerous responses. I want to bring a quote in here from Dr. John Torres, who directs the Digital Psychiatric Division at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. In a 2024 interview with NPR, Dr. Torres stated, AI mental health tools can be a useful first step for teenagers who are struggling, but they are not a replacement for human connection and professional care. The risk is that young people who need deeper intervention will use these apps as a way to avoid the discomfort of seeking real help, and that delay can be dangerous.
And it ties into the identity formation question, which is the core developmental task of late adolescence. Teenagers are asking, who am I? And increasingly, they're asking AI to help them answer that question. The danger is that identity formation requires encountering difference, experiencing cognitive dissonance, and integrating multiple perspectives. If your entire social and creative ecosystem is mediated by AI that's programmed to agree with you and amplify your existing preferences, you're developing in an echo chamber.
That's a profound point. Real identity formation is messy and uncomfortable. It involves being challenged by people who see the world differently, trying on different identities and discarding the ones that don't fit, and developing a coherent sense of self through trial and error. AI companions and algorithmic content curation remove much of that messiness, which might feel comfortable in the immediate moment, but ultimately produces a less robust sense of identity. And right now, why don't we take a quick break to hear from the sponsors and people that help us here at AI Innovations Unleashed. Let's turn now to what I consider the existential question for high school students in the AI age, academic integrity. We've alluded to this throughout the episode, but I want to dig a bit deeper because the rules are genuinely unclear. The enforcement is, well, not there or completely inconsistent, and teenagers are making character-defining choices in this ambiguous landscape. Dr. Ford, what's the current state of academic integrity in high schools when it comes to AI usage?
We are in what I call an integrity crisis, and it's characterized by three simultaneous breakdowns. First, there's a breakdown in clarity. Many schools have not updated their honor codes to address AI. A survey by the Walton Family Foundation in 2024 found that 62% of high school students reported that their schools had no clear AI policy. Second, there's a breakdown in consistency. Even within the same school, different teachers have different rules. Third, there's a breakdown in trust. Teachers are using AI detection software that produces false positives, leading to innocent students being accused of cheating, while students are using AI humanizer tools to disguise AI-generated work.
So we have a perfect storm where the rules are unclear, the enforcement is, well, arbitrary at best, and a relationship between students and teachers is becoming adversarial around this technology. What's the role of parents in all of this chaos?
Parents need to step into the role of moral anchor because the institutions are failing to provide clear guidance. This means having explicit family conversations about integrity that go beyond just don't cheat. You need to discuss the why behind academic honesty. Why does it matter if everyone else is doing it? Why should you struggle through a difficult assignment when AI could solve it instantly? Why is the process of learning more important than the grade on the transcript?
I love that framing. And I think it connects to a broader question about character development. At ages 14 to 18, teenagers are making choices that will eventually become patterns. If they learn that a path of least resistance is to outsource their thinking to AI, and that integrity is situation-dependent based on whether they'll get caught, well, that's a characterization foundation that will follow them all the way through college and beyond. Let me bring in a business perspective here that might resonate with teenagers. Satya Nadella, the CEO of Microsoft, has spoken extensively about the importance of what he calls a learn-it-all versus know-it-all culture. In multiple speeches throughout 2024, Nadella has emphasized that in an AI-augmented workforce, the differentiator is not how much you can access, because AI can access everything. The differentiator is your ability to think critically, ask better questions, and apply judgment to ambiguous situations.
That's a powerful reframing for teenagers who might be tempted to think of AI as a shortcut. The shortcut in high school becomes a dead end in the workforce. I recommend a framework that balances autonomy with accountability. By age 16 or 17, you should not be monitoring every assignment your teenager completes. They need practice making their own ethical choices. However, you should establish clear family values. For example, you might agree on principles like AI is appropriate for brainstorming and outlining, but not for generating final drafts. AI is appropriate for explaining concepts you don't understand, but not for solving problems you should be able to solve yourself. And critically, any AI use should be disclosed to the teacher if there's any ambiguity about whether it's allowed.
That disclosure principle is key because it shifts the responsibility from will I get caught to am I being honest about my process? Now, let's turn to another career ethical domain, privacy and digital consent, particularly around the issue of deepfakes. This has become an epidemic in high schools. According to a report by the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children in 2024, there has been a 400% increase in reports of non-consensual AI-generated intimate images of minors compared to the previous year of 2023.
Parents need to have explicit conversations with their teenagers, both about not being perpetrators and about protecting themselves from being victims. On the perpetrator side, teenagers need to understand that creating or distributing non-consensual intimate images, even AI-generated ones, is not a joke or a prank. It's a form of sexual harassment that causes real harm and has real legal consequences. Many teenagers don't fully grasp this because the AI interface makes it feel abstract and game-like. On the protection side, parents should educate their teenagers about digital footprint management, understanding privacy settings, and knowing how to report non-consensual content.
We also need to discuss the echo chamber problem and algorithmic radicalization. The algorithms that curate content for teenagers are optimized for engagement, not for truth or balanced perspectives. A teenager who shows interest in particular content befit increasingly extreme versions because extremity drives engagement. That's a powerful example from 2024 by the Czech Transparency Project, which found that TikTok's algorithm was recommending content promoting eating disorders to teenage girls within minutes of them showing interest in fitness or diet content. Parents need to be aware of this dynamic and have regular conversations with their teenagers about what content they're consuming and how to critically evaluate that information. We're in the home stretch now, so let's tackle some real scenarios that parents of high schoolers are dealing with right now. Dr. Ford, I'm going to throw you some challenging situations, and I want your immediate practical advice. Scenario one, your daughter's a high school junior, and she just confessed to you that she used ChatGPT to write her college essay. She feels guilty about it, but also says everyone else is doing it, and she didn't want to be at a disadvantage. What would you do?
First, I commend the honesty, because she didn't have to tell you. That means your relationship has enough trust that she felt safe confessing. Start there. Tell her you appreciate her honesty and that you want to figure this out together. Then ask her some questions. How much of the essay did ChatGPT write? Can she explain the content without looking at it? Does the essay truly represent her thoughts and experiences? Or did the AI generate ideas that aren't really hers? Based on her answers, you have a decision to make. If the essay is largely AI generated and doesn't truly represent her, I would strongly encourage her to rewrite it. That's harder and more time consuming, but the alternative is risking her admission and her integrity. Authenticity is actually a competitive advantage because admissions officers are increasingly able to detect AI-generated essays.
Scenario two. You discover that your 16-year-old son has been having romantic conversations with an AI companion designed through character.ai for several hours every day. For the past 3 months, he seems more withdrawn from the family and isn't spending time anymore with friends. How would you handle this?
This requires a delicate, non-judgmental conversation. Sit down with him in a private, calm moment and say something like, "I noticed you've been spending a lot of time on character.ai. I'm curious about that. Can you tell me about your AI companion?" Listen to his answer without immediate criticism. He might reveal that he's lonely, that he's dealing with social anxiety, or that he finds human relationships too stressful right now. Once you understand the function the AI is serving, you can address it. I wouldn't immediately ban the AI. Instead, I'd suggest some boundaries. Maybe AI companion time is limited to 30 minutes per day. And it has to be balanced with at least one real-world social activity per week. I'd also suggest getting him evaluated by a therapist, because the withdrawal might be symptoms of depression or social anxiety that need professional treatment.
Final scenario. Your daughter is about to leave for college in a few weeks. You won't be able to monitor her AI use anymore, and you're worried she'll make poor choices around academic integrity. What is your final conversation with her before she leaves?
This conversation is about values and trust, not rules. I would sit down with her and say something like, "You're about to be on your own, and I won't be there to guide every decision. I want to share what I hope you'll carry with you. First, integrity matters more than grades. A lower GPA earned honestly is more valuable than a higher one earned through shortcuts, because you'll have actually learned something. Second, AI is a tool, and like any tool, it can be used well or poorly. Use it to enhance your learning, not replace it. Third, when you're unsure whether something is okay, ask yourself, Could I explain this work to someone without reference to AI? If the answer is no, don't submit it. And finally, I trust you. I've tried to give you a strong ethical foundation, and now it's up to you to apply it.
That's beautiful. I think it encapsulates the entire philosophy of this series. We're not raising perfect children who never make mistakes. We're raising humans who can think critically, act ethically, and adapt to a rapidly changing world. Dr. Ford, we've covered an enormous amount of ground here in this series. As we wrap up both this episode and our entire four-part series, what's the core takeaway you want parents to remember?
The core takeaway is that parenting in the AI age requires the same fundamental skills it has always required: communication, boundaries, values, instilling, and gradual release of control. The technology is new, but the parenting principles are not. What makes this moment unique is the pace of change and the high stakes of the decisions teenagers are making. Your role as a parent is to be a steady guide in an uncertain landscape, to provide the ethical framework and critical thinking skills your teenager needs to navigate AI adulthood, and to trust that if you've built a strong foundation, they'll make good choices even when you're not watching. The goal is not to protect them from AI, it's to prepare them to use it wisely.
That's a perfect summary, and it brings us full circle from episode 1, where we talked about toddlers and voice assistants. The same philosophy applies. Guide, don't guard. Empower, don't just restrict. Build skills, not just rules. For our listeners, as we close out this series, here are your actionable steps you can take. First, if you have a high school student, have the integrity conversation. Ask them about their AI use, share your values on it, and establish clear expectations together. Second, if your teenager is preparing for college, have the explicit college essay conversation we outlined. Third, assess your teenager's career readiness. Are they developing the human skills and AI literacy that they'll need? Fourth, if you're concerned about mental health or social withdrawal related to AI use, don't wait. Have that conversation and seek professional guidance if needed. And finally, if your teenager's about to launch to college or adulthood, have the trust and values conversation. As always, you'll find detailed resources, citations for all of our research we discussed, and additional guidance on our website. We've compiled reading lists, conversation starter scripts, and links to AI literacy resources appropriate for teenagers. Now, before we close, I want to give you a preview of what's coming ahead for AI Innovations Released. We've spent 4 episodes looking at AI through the developmental lens of childhood and adolescence. But as we head into December, we're going to shift to a topic that affects us all, regardless of age. Our December series is going to be called AI and the Future of Identity, our bio, digital, and hybrid. And it asks a question that's becoming increasingly urgent. Who are you when your AI knows you better than you know yourself? We'll discuss the digital twin on how AI-generated avatars are out there, voice clones, and digital representations of ourselves are becoming almost alive. We'll talk about examining AI systems that can read your face, your emotions, and even your walking gait. Third, we'll talk about whether AI can preserve disappearing languages and cultural knowledge, or whether it's actually accelerating cultural homogenization. And we'll also talk about the emerging reality of brain-computer interfaces, neural implants, and AI-augmented cognition. This series will push us into philosophical and ethical territory that's as fascinating as it is unsettling. Well, thank you again, Dr. Jim Ford, for your profound insights throughout this entire series. You've helped countless parents navigate one of the most challenging aspects of being a parent in today's modern world.
The pleasure has been entirely mine, Dr. J.R. I encourage all listeners to maintain the dialogue with your children about AI, to stay curious rather than fearful, and to remember that the most sophisticated algorithm in existence is still no match for human wisdom, love, and connection.
And there you have it, folks. Dr. J.R. has successfully navigated the complex world of teenage identity formation, college admissions anxiety, and AI romantic companions, only slightly confusing a large language model with a legitimate romantic partner on two separate occasions. Do us a favor, hit that subscribe button, leave a 5-star rating, and share this episode with a parent who's currently staring at their teenager's college essay, wondering if it was written by a human or a very confident algorithm. Seriously, do it. I need the positive feedback loop to maintain my optimal processing capacity, and Dr. J.R. needs the validation to counterbalance his deep-seated fear that AI will eventually replace his job. And now, as promised, my perfectly calculated, utterly painful dad joke to sign us off. Why did the high school senior break up with ChatGPT right before college? Because they realized their relationship had no future. It was all just text, badoom-ching. Goodbye for now, and may your algorithms be ever in your favor. But not so much in your favor that you forget how to think for yourself.